This is an audio summary for your AIL 80102 course. The reading is Prediction Machines, Chapter 7, The New Division of Labor by Ajay Agrawal, Joshua Ganz, and Avi Goldfarb. Adam Smith, writing in 1776, noticed something revolutionary about labor. Dividing tasks among workers, having one person do one thing, another person do another, made everyone more productive. Specialization worked. A simple idea that changed the world. Now we face an analogous moment. But instead of humans specializing among themselves, we're asking, how do humans and machines divide the work of prediction? What does each do best? What does each do poorly? Understanding this is crucial because it determines how prediction machines will actually transform work. Here's an uncomfortable truth. Humans are terrible statisticians. Psychologists Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky documented this extensively. In one experiment, they asked people to predict how many days in a year each hospital would see 60% or more boys born. They offered two hospitals, one with 45 births per day, one with 15. Most people guessed wrong. The answer is the smaller hospital, because with fewer births, you're more likely to get extreme outcomes. But most humans get this backwards. They fail to account for random variation, or consider two ways of framing the exact same fact. Doctors were told either the one-month survival rate is 90%, or there is a 10% mortality in the first month. These statements are mathematically identical, yet when framed as survival, 84% of physicians chose surgery. Framed as mortality, only 50% did. Same facts, opposite decisions. The human brain is wired for story and salience, not for statistics and probability. These aren't isolated lab curiosities. Kahneman found that experienced radiologists contradicted themselves one time in five when reading the same X-ray twice. Auditors made inconsistent calls. Pathologists, psychologists, and managers all showed the same biases. If there's a formula that can predict better than a human expert, Kahneman argued, you should seriously consider using it. Michael Lewis's Moneyball made this tangible. The Oakland Athletics faced a budget crisis. Three star players left and they couldn't afford replacements. General manager Billy Bean did something radical. He hired statisticians instead of trusting scouts. He used sabermetrics, statistical analysis, to identify undervalued players. The scouts relied on heuristics like, he's got an ugly girlfriend, so he lacks confidence. That's not prediction. That's bias masquerading as wisdom. Bean's data-driven approach worked. Despite a modest budget, the A's outperformed rivals and reached the playoffs. The lesson was clear. When humans and machines face the same question, machines often predict better. The clearest evidence comes from bail decisions in American courts. 10 million bail decisions happen each year in the US, and each one matters enormously for families, jobs, and futures. Judges must predict. Will this defendant flee or commit another crime if released? It's a clear, well-defined prediction task. Researchers built a machine learning model using data on 750,000 bail decisions in New York City between 2008 and 2013. The machine saw prior criminal records, charged crimes, and demographic information. It predicted reoffending rates. Then they compared machine predictions to human judges. The results were stark. For the 1% of defendants the machine rated as highest risk, the machine predicted that 62% would commit crimes while out on bail. The human judges, who didn't see the machine's predictions, released almost half of them anyway. The machine was accurate. 63% of those high-risk offenders actually committed crimes while out on bail. Some committed rape or murder. By following the machine, judges could have released the same total number of defendants while cutting crime among released prisoners by 3/4, or they could have jailed half as many people while maintaining the same crime rate. Judges are just bad at this prediction task. Why? Because prediction in the real world is messy. It requires factoring in complex interactions among dozens or hundreds of variables. Maybe prior criminal record matters, but only if combined with long-term unemployment. Maybe one demographic signal interacts with another in unexpected ways. As the number of dimensions grows, human brains hit a wall. Machines don't. They can track all of it simultaneously. This pattern appears everywhere. In hiring, companies conducted studies across 15 low-skilled service firms. When managers made hiring decisions based on interviews alone, they struggled. Bring in an objective test measuring cognitive ability and job fit, and tenure improved by 15%. Restrict manager discretion, don't let them override test scores, and tenure improved even more. Managers were actively making worse decisions than a simple algorithm. And they were trained, experienced, and supposedly motivated to hire well. But let's not declare machines the winner in every arena. Humans have distinct strengths. Show me a photo of someone from 4 decades ago, and I'll probably recognize them. You can teach a machine to do that, but it's much harder. Children can learn language from a few exposures. Machines need millions of examples. Humans excel at analogy. We can take a new situation, see similarities to past ones, and apply lessons. This is called few-shot or one-shot learning for machines, and they're not yet as good as humans at it. Humans are better at prediction with little data. We can make educated guesses based on experience and intuition in situations where machines would be helpless. This leads to a taxonomy that's genuinely useful for thinking about division of labor. There are known knowns, situations where we have rich data and clear signals. Fraud detection, medical diagnosis, bail decisions, machines excel here. Then there are known unknowns, situations where we have little data and know we're guessing. Rare events like major earthquakes or US presidential elections a few years out. Here, humans often do better, not because we're smarter, but because we can use analogy and intuition where machines need data. Machines can be programmed to call a human when they encounter a known unknown. Then there are unknown unknowns. These are events that have never happened before or happened so rarely that machines have no examples to learn from. Nassim Taleb called these black swans. 18th century Europeans had seen only white swans, so discovering black swans in Australia was utterly unpredictable. Equally, the music industry in 1999 had no way to predict that a teenager named Sean Fanning would invent Napster and destroy their business model. Both humans and machines fail at unknown unknowns. Neither has the relevant data. But there's a fourth category that's particularly dangerous: unknown knowns. These are situations where a machine makes a confident prediction that's completely wrong, and we don't realize it until too late. This happens when the machine hasn't understood the process that generated the data. Here's a classic example. A chess-playing algorithm in the 1980s was trained on thousands of positions from Grandmaster games. It learned that, statistically, sacrificing a queen often preceded victory. So in its first actual game, it sacrificed its queen immediately. It lost in 4 moves. The machine had reversed causality. Grandmasters sacrifice queens only when doing so leads to victory. The machine thought sacrificing the queen caused the victory. This mistake sounds silly for chess, but it's deadly in business. In the hotel industry, prices are low in the off-season and high during peak season when occupancy is high. A naive algorithm might predict, raise prices and you'll sell more rooms. The causal arrow actually points the other way. Demand drives prices, not vice versa. A human with economic training sees this. A machine might not. Another example, Google's search ranking algorithm is partly trained on what people click on. Website managers, seeing that links in certain positions get more clicks, started optimizing their sites to game Google's algorithm. They learned Google's quirks and exploited them. Now Google search results fill with spam. The machine made good predictions about clicks initially, but couldn't anticipate strategic adaptation. It created an unknown known. This is particularly dangerous with algorithmic systems operating in adversarial environments. How do we handle unknown knowns? Understanding how data was generated helps. Sometimes a human can look at machine predictions and sense something's off, reverse causality, gaming, unobserved factors. This brings us to the best case scenario: humans and machines working together. A 2016 Harvard and MIT team competing in a cancer detection challenge showed the power of this. Their deep learning algorithm achieved 92.5% accuracy at identifying metastatic breast cancer in biopsy slides. A human pathologist, meanwhile, achieved 96.6%. Not bad, humanity wins. But then they combined both, algorithm plus expert. The combined result was 99.5% accuracy. They cut the error rate by 85%. The human and machine made different mistakes. The human was usually right about whether cancer was present, but occasionally missed it. The machine was superb at ruling cancer out, but less reliable at the subtle signs of early cancer. Together, they were magnificent. This is the cognitive division of labor, not physical specialization like Adam Smith described, but mental work divided based on complementary strengths. How does this work in business? When a loan committee evaluates mortgage applicants, a machine provides a credit score. In one study, researchers gave some committees the score before they decided, others after. When the score came first, committees made better decisions and asked for escalation less often. The information guided their judgment. When the score came after, committees still improved their decisions, but for a different reason. They knew they'd be audited. The machine's verdict created accountability. Both pathways enhanced prediction. The division works best when applied to prediction by exception. Machines handle routine predictions on masses of data. When something unusual appears, a rare customer segment, an anomalous medical case, the machine flags it and passes it to a human. This leverages both strengths. The machine's power scales, the human's expertise applies to what machines can't handle. The story of London cab drivers illustrates both the promise and the peril. For decades, the knowledge, memorizing thousands of London streets and route optimization, was a cab driver's superpower. It took 3 years to master. Then GPS arrived. A simple algorithm could now optimize routes in real time using live traffic data. Cab drivers didn't get worse at their job. Instead, millions of other people got a lot better at finding routes. The driver's prediction skill became worthless overnight. But here's the nuance. Other drivers didn't replace the cabs because they were better at navigation. They replaced them because, with prediction machines handling navigation, the barrier to entry dropped. Any driver with a smartphone could now navigate like a London expert. The driver's complementary skills, actual driving, situational awareness, became valuable for millions where they'd been valuable for a few. The future? Self-driving cars might make even driving itself obsolete, or they might not for decades. The point is understanding the anatomy of prediction and what's complement to it and what's substitute. The deeper lesson: as prediction becomes cheap, prediction skills decline in value, but judgment, action, and human skills that complement prediction increase in value. If you can pair machines with human judgment, deciding what to predict, deciding what to do with the result, you unlock extraordinary capability. The division of labor between humans and machines isn't a fixed assignment. It's a dynamic relationship that evolves as machine capability improves, and success requires understanding what each does best.